West, Real One. If I could ask you first of all, Mr. West, about your life, you know, your early life before you went in the Navy, could you tell me something about your home background? And really what I want to try and find out is what attracted you, a boy like you, into the Navy?
Well, my very early background, as I was born in 1895 in the Queen Victoria's reign, you see. And my first recollection was the death of Queen Victoria. Well, she died on the 22nd of January 1902. Now, my young sister was 3 years old when Queen Victoria died. And the reason I remember with this is because we were having a birthday party to celebrate my sister's third birthday. And during the afternoon, the news came through of the death of Queen Victoria. So the party came to an end and everybody dispersed. And the thing I remember mainly about this, that the whole nation mourning. All the men wore black armbands, all the ladies were dressed in black, and for a long time the death of Queen Victoria was treated as if one's own family had died. And that was my first early recollections.
Where were you living then, Mr. West?
My father was station master at a little place called Greatley. There's no station there now. That's been done away with ago.
Is that in Hampshire?
In Hampshire. I don't know whether it's Hampshire or the border of Wiltshire. Near Andover, anyway. And it was a branch line. Now, in those days, when the Boer War was on, the army, all the soldiers used to march from Bulford Camp. They used to set up trestles outside the station, and used to have urns of coffee, and used to have Garibaldi biscuits, I remember well. And we were children. In those days, the boys used to wear frocks like the girls. And before they entrained greatly for Southampton for overseas service, we used to go out there as children, and when they were packing everything up, we used to hold our apron or pinafores up and used to fill them with Garibaldi biscuits. So my parents never bought biscuits for a long time. And that's another of my early recollections of the Boer War.
Do you remember anything else about the Boer War? It's very interesting hearing you say this.
No, except for the songs they used to sing, "Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey," and songs like that. And I remember the soldiers used to have these swagger canes there, and I managed to persuade one to give me his swagger cane as a memento. But they used to go from in train, I suppose they used to go to Salisbury and then go to Southampton for embarkation.
I knew you were very young at this time, you know, a very young child, but can you remember any sort of atmosphere in the country about the Boer War? You know, obviously you lived through the First World War and the Second World War. Was there anything like the sort of atmosphere as far as you know?
Oh, the far more patriotism in those days. We were brought up, you know, the greatest empire that the world's ever known. And we had a great empire. And the days of Queen Victoria, I remember that I was actually 3 years old when I was given a Jubilee mug for her Diamond Jubilee. And I was just old enough to get one of these mugs. And I remember on it the invention of the telegraph, the motor car, the steam engine, and all that was depicted on the depicted on this mug. And her years of reign, I think it was 60 years, when it was, her Diamond Jubilee. And I suppose we made greater advance in those years than at any time during our history.
Do you remember the end of the Boer War? You know, any celebrations for the end of
No, I can't say I really remember that. We were... You're going to cut this part out, because I can't remember.
It's not surprising, because this is a long time ago. But I wonder now if you could give me some idea of your education. You know, whereabouts did you go to school in the local area?
Well, I first went to school. We used to go to school at 4 years of age then. And from Greatley, we had a mile and a half to walk from the station to the village. And the elder brother used to look after us, and we used to have to walk all that distance backwards and forwards. And for that purpose, we used to have our school satchel. We used to take our lunch with us. I remember usually boiled eggs and bread, butter, margarine, whatever had those days. We used to take our midday meal with us and have it in the school playground, and then to come back in the evening. That's my earliest days of school. From Greatley, we went from that little village school to Hampton. My father was appointed to Hampton, that's near Hampton Court Palace. Went right up to there, right up to near London, and a different life altogether. And we had, I think it was 3 days, we lived at Hampton, and I went to Hampton English School. And I remember in the summer, the regatta days, all the people used to come down from London on the weekends. You know, the ladies in those days, back with the gramophone in the stern, and the men either poling with, or, you know, gramophone going, the ladies sitting in back with her sunshine, and the men with her punt poles, you know, or else rowing backwards and forwards there. And then opposite, of course, there was Hurst Park Racecourse. On race days, they used to come down. Flocks of them used to come down to Hampton Station and up the river.
Well, in those days, was Hampton rather separate from the main city? Now it's all sprawled together, isn't it?
Well, the station was somewhere away from the town, and I suppose about half a mile we had to walk from the station to the town, as far as it seemed a long way to us anyway.
I'm wondering now, Mr. West, you know, were you beginning to get feelings that you wanted to go into the Navy? I'm wondering what spurred you on to want to join the Navy. Could you give me some idea of that?
Well, that came later. After we left Hampton, my father became station master at Romsey. Now, Romsey, as you know, is the abbey's there, and my family were very much involved with the Romsey Abbey and so on. And I went then to the Church of England school at Romsey, and there we were taught to be patriotic there. We used to celebrate Empire Day and all that sort of business. Used to sing the national anthem in the morning before lessons started. That we're taught about the British Empire, and the sun never sets on the British Empire, and all taught to be patriotic. And we had a master who used to read the books we used to give him, were Coral Island and Treasure Island and Sea Stories. And the two poems we were taught, one was The Revenge, A Ballad of the Fleet by Alfred Lord Tennis, about the fight of the Revenge. And The Ancient Mariner, of course, were taught. No, and that sort of made one interested to seafaring. And from there on, you know, to think about adventure and sea travel and so on. Westward Ho was one of the books we used to read and so on. And I had a cousin who was a petty officer in the Navy, of course much older than I was, and he was my hero and I wanted to be like him. So I wanted to join the Navy. Now, any relatives I had seagoing were all captains and officers of the Merchant Navy. And in those days, the social order of things, the Navy ranked about the lowest. And there were no boarding school days in those days, but all the boys that got into trouble, they say, well, send them to the Navy. So my parents had a very poor idea of the Navy, and they said if I wanted to go to sea, they wanted to send me to Captain Forbes' navigation school in Southampton, where I was going to be trained to be a naval, a merchant navy officer, because they never used to call them the merchant navy. Then it was either the navy or the merchant service. So I remember I said to my father, if I'm going to sea, I want to be a proper sailor. And that's how I came to go to the Mercury. I worried them until eventually they gave way and let me go to the Mercury. But
well, could you tell me about the Mercury? Was that a sort of initial training for a young sailor, HMS Mercury?
Well, the Mercury was run by C.B. Fry and his wife. C.B. Fry, he was the commander of the Mercury. But actually, he was away all the time, and his wife, Mrs. Fry, used to run that school. And it was a pretty tough going. Now, the stories I could tell you about the Mercury...
Well, you think... Yes, if you could tell me whatever you can remember about HMS Mercury, because I understand this was a very famous training ship, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know if it was very famous at the time, but it was the only way that I could see of getting in the Navy. Anyhow, I harassed my parents, so they eventually took me down to the Mercury. And I was accepted there. And half an hour after my parents left, I realised what I'd left myself in for. First of all, a bearded old sailor came to me, apparently he was a seamanship instructor, it happened to be, and he took me into a little room and put a chair. He said, sit down there, boy. So I sat down there, and he got a pair of clippers, and he sheared me from back to the front with these clippers. I felt like a short, newly shorn lamb. And he said, what's your name? I said, West. He said, well, you'll no longer be known by your name, you'll be given a number, and your number you'll be known by is 1070, and from now onwards you'll be referred to as 1070. Now, every boy on the Mercury had a number, and we got so used to calling each other by the number that we very often didn't even know their surnames. And we used to get a conversation like, hello, 1070, you see 985? No, I think he's dead in the boat, house for 768. And that's the sort of conversation was going there. Now, as regards kit, we had very little clothing there. Now, in the summertime, you only had three items of clothing, that is trousers, jumper and a flannel. No other underclothes at all. You used to have a pair of boots and a pair of socks, but they were for wearing on Sundays only. And all the rest of the week used to run about bare feet. Now, the training was done in a shore establishment, and we used to go aboard the ship each night to sling our hammocks and to sleep. And in the morning, back again in the cutter for our daily instruction.
Whereabouts was this?
At the Hamble, off the village of Hamble. The ship was an old tea clipper. I think her first name was the Aloha. And she was a three-decker. And we used to sleep aboard there. I think he's down at the boathouse. Now, and that everybody brought on a mercury thing there.